focusing on NCAA leaders, and we have the offensive coordinator of one of the top offenses in the country in 2017, Brennan Marion from Howard University. Brennan, it's great to have you here.
Oh, man, I appreciate you having me on.
Coach, before we get into everything you guys are doing on offense, let's talk a little bit about your background. Obviously, as a player, you excelled, played in the NFL, kicked around the league for a little bit, and then you got into coaching. But talk to us a little bit about that transition from, you know, what you did as a player all the way through to where you are right now.
Well, grew up in Pennsylvania, Western PA. So, you know, football's always been a big part of my life coming from there. And then was able to, you know, go out to junior college in California. Went out to University of Tulsa, you know, was recruited by Coach Graham, Coach Malzahn, Coach Norvell was my receiver coach. So got a chance to be around some really good coaches and get coached by them. We did some really good things there. And then, like you said, was in the NFL for a little bit, but spent most of my time just injured. But, you know, just being able to be in the locker room is, you know, is a blessing. You know, a lot of guys don't get an opportunity to do that. So I was able to get into a, you know, NFL locker room and camps and things like that. So from there, when I got hurt, and then I started coaching. I was a varsity offense coordinator out in Union City, California, in the Bay Area, James Logan High School. And really, those kids are really what got me into coaching. Those kids kind of saved my life, you know, being depressed about being hurt, you know, put a lot of time in as a player to make it to that level. And then when you get to that level, to be hurt really sets a damper on your party or your parade. So being around those guys, you know, looking at me just wanting to be coached, wanting to be helped, helped the transition a lot, because, you know, I had guys living with me and, you know, just taking care of kids, man, just serving. And, you know, I didn't have goals of being a big time coach or anything like that at that point. I just really just needed to be around football and be in a positive environment. So started there coaching, then went to Canada, hurt my knee again as a player, then decided, all right, I'm going to go full scale into coaching. So then I went with a JV head coach and varsity receiver coach, helped the private school that really didn't have football players, kind of like the first couple of years into a football program. We had probably like 12 to 19 guys anywhere from there to on the team, on both teams, varsity and JV. So didn't have a ton of guys, kids that weren't accustomed to playing football, kids that came from really affluent backgrounds. I think we had 7 billionaires on the team, you know, families that, you know, were billionaires. So it was kind of crazy being around that type of, you know, people with that type of, you know, money. But work with those kids, and those kids, you know, would be like, man, you should be a head coach, da, da, da. You know, we were able to, you know, win some games with that team. I didn't think that we would win a game, you know, when I took that job. We were able to win some games and do some things, you know. So I went on and applied to be a high school head coach at like 300 schools. And I got a job at St. Patrick St. Vincent in Vallejo, a small private school as well. My first football meeting, I had 6 players in the meeting. You know, 6-7 months later, we were in the first round of the playoffs and played in a really competitive league in the Bay Area. I think we were like number 1 or number 2 in offense. So, you know, did some good things there and were able to turn around the program. Then I went back to Pennsylvania, become a head coach, a high school head coach at another school, a bigger school. And, you know, kind of the same scenario, same setup as far as it being a bad team. I think they were ranked last in the state of Pennsylvania, hadn't had a winning season in 20 years, and we were able to win the conference, one coach of the year, one team of the year, and, you know, all that was just based off that first group of kids that I coached, just keeping that servant mentality, you know, helping the guys, being there for them, you know, off the field as well as on the field. But after that, I really started to get in the itch of feeling like, man, I could coach college and I really want to try to do something with this coaching thing. You know, as a player, you see yourself make it to the highest level. So you feel like, you know, you could, you know what it takes to do that. And kind of always had the passion for football. And when I got an opportunity to go with Coach Norvell at Arizona State, Coach Graham, and be, you know, quality control, just that's when I really learned like the paperwork of the game, you know, like the recruiting elements.
Right.
You know, just all the stuff that goes with it, you know, like basically just the GA grunt work, you know, being in the office, you know, 6 a.m. to 11 p.m., you know, just everyday grinding. You know, I always knew I loved the game and the player relationship part. That kind of came natural. You know, I always say that's just like a God thing. Like that part is pretty easy for me to relate to guys and, you know, coach them and stuff like that. But just learning the paperwork part, and then what goes on with a college schedule and how you run things, you know, behind the scenes. So learned a lot there, and that's really what, you know, I took the scheme that we ran this year that I ran my last year of high school, which was 2014, and I just kept upgrading it and molding it and, you know, working on it behind the scenes. So I tell a lot of guys, while you're not, might not be in the position or the title that you want to be, you should still be working on your process mm-hmm. of how you're going to do things when you do get a chance. So from there, I went to be at Kentucky Christian for a little bit, then went to, you know, Oklahoma Baptist, a Division II school. And then I got opportunity here with Coach London. I actually met him being a summer on the Dolphins together. And I met him when I was a high school head coach, you know, just trying to find and meet quality head coaches and, you know, just tell them about myself and tell them about my players. We went up there to a 7-on-7 camp. Me and Coach London hit it off pretty well, got his number, and we just stayed in contact over the years. And you know, he gave me a call and gave me a great opportunity to be the offensive coordinator here at Howard.
Coach, it's interesting you bring up that process and always working on the process. I think that's some great advice to a young coach. In fact, you know, having moved this past summer, my fiance is like, you know, why do you keep all these boxes of notebooks and stuff that you're not going to look at anymore? Why don't you just throw them out? And it's hard to do because in those boxes are, you know, those binders and those notebooks from years of this is what I'm going to do to put it together and constantly adding, deleting, until you get the opportunity to run your own offense, till you get the opportunity to run your own program. It's funny how you prepare for it, you know. So those are still sitting in boxes in my garage. She hasn't been able to throw those out yet.
Football is life, you know. You can't get rid of those. You never know what you have to go back to. I was just looking through protections, and I went back to one of my old notebooks from Arizona State from Coach Thompson, who's the O-line coach at TCU now. And we were talking about protections, and I'm looking through something that he taught me, you know, years ago. But, you know, it's good to always have that information.
Coach, let's dig into your offense a little bit. Before we get into, you know, a little bit of the schematics, let's talk about the culture that you built in that group. You know, before we got going, you just mentioned, you know, coming off of your signing day and meeting some needs. So you're obviously working on finding the right guys to bring into your culture, but there's so much work to do once you get there. And obviously Coach London's driving the overall culture of the program, but you're going to build that and continue to develop that within your unit. Talk to us a little bit about how you do that.
Our biggest thing, you know, Coach London's mantra is mission possible that we use here. That's just, you have to jump through a lot of hoops to be a football player. So ultimately, we're going out there and finding guys who love the game of football. You know, we want to be around like-minded individuals, like Coach Belichick says. We want to coach guys that, you know, really love the game. So our culture of what we created here at Howard, we call our offense the go-go offense. And that's kind of just, you know, we're in Washington, D.C. We're located right 5 to 10 minutes from the White House, world's most powerful city. And the music culture, how people do things around here, you know, they call it go-go music. So, you know, it's a song that you hear on the radio, but it plays to like a band playing the song. And we wanted to go fast, and we wanted people really to embrace what we're doing around here. So, you know, my mom gave me some ideas, and, you know, we came up with the go-go offense. And kind of, you know, that just symbolizes the local culture here, because I feel like, you know, you always want to change the culture when you come to a place and you need to, you know, get it in a winning direction. But you also want to embrace the culture as well. And we were able to embrace the local culture here in D.C. by calling our offense the go-go offense. Then we changed the culture, you know, with the mission possible. And then the stuff that, you know, I did as a high school coach, loving up the guys. It's more of an off-the-field relationship. Guys are always in the office wanting to get better, wanting to learn. And, you know, you have a group of 11 guys, regardless of their talent level, working together, you know, the plays will work. You know, if you love these guys, anything can work. You've seen wing team work. You've seen spread, air raid. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different type of offenses out there. But I think the determining factor is guys believing and loving each other.
Well, Coach, let's get into the go-go offense a little bit. And you said that's something that has come along and developed out of what you were doing in your high school days. So, you know, talk to us a little bit about the philosophy behind it and kind of the main principles that you employing your offense.
Well, our picture is a little bit different than everyone else's as far as our formation. We keep our two backs side by side in the backfield, and we do that in a lot of different sets. I mean, you know, we'll line up a lot of different ways with our receivers, tight ends, you know, bringing different personnel into the game. But we want to start and finish the game with the run. We ran over 500 times this year, finished top 25 in rushing in the country. So we're going to really try to dictate the game with being smash mouth, physical, right at you, two back power run team. And we want you to know it's coming. And then we want to try to get our receivers in favorable matchups, one-on-ones, get them in situations. And then obviously we believe in going fast, trying to create a fifth quarter, giving guys, you know, more opportunities to impact the game and make more plays, put stress on the defense to get lined up properly. The biggest thing is, you know, creating a culture of a mindset of we want to run the ball, but, you know, throwing the ball down the field as well, giving receivers opportunities on their one-on-one matchups and then going fast. You know, I've seen the fruits of what happens of going fast, you know, playing for Coach Malzahn as a player. He's still successful now, 10 years later, with going fast. So, I mean, I really just believe in that. And, you know, that's what we major in here at Howard.
So, Coach, talk to us a little bit about how you're creating that fifth quarter. What are the keys for you in being as fast as you can be? What things are you teaching your players that you make sure that we're going to operate at a very fast pace?
I think the one thing that you want to do as a coach is you want to have continuity on the line. You want the linemen all to be in collaboration and communication together. You want all the skilled players to be in communication and collaboration, but you also want to create the competitive edge. And that, when I say that, I'm saying multiple guys feel like that they're the guy. You know, we want all our guys to feel like they're the guy. And how we create the fifth quarter is why we don't create robots. We teach our players the whole scheme. We teach them everything that goes on. So our receiver's going to know exactly what the line's doing, the quarterback's doing, the running back's doing. Same thing all the way around the board. Then we can play a lot faster because guys know when they see that signal what to do if they're lined up in a spot. If they even line up in the wrong spot, they still know what spot they need to get to. Kind of like, you know, your mindset on defense. If you create a shell and you still have to get back to your spot or down to a spot, you know, we're trying to do the same thing on offense.
Coach, let's talk a little bit about that group up front. And obviously, the key to any offense, whether you're going fast, whether you're huddling up, is that group is going to be on the same page, working together, and obviously excelling at their jobs. How do you keep it simple enough for them, yet complex for the defense?
What we do for them is, I think that's where the tempo comes in. It makes it simple for them because they're constantly going to see a multitude of guys rotating in and out because those guys can't breathe. You know, bigger guys on defense up front that they'll go against, you know, trying to keep the tempo fast. So our offensive line is used to going fast. Another team might not be used to that pace. So this year we actually played with probably one of the smallest offensive lines in the country. I mean, we had a 230-pound right tackle,
wow,
260-pound left tackle. You know, major college football, you know, so that's definitely different from anybody else. I mean, we've gotten bigger in recruiting, but you know, that's what we had up front. So I think the tempo really helps those guys. And I think what we do, you know, we're so multiple in what we do that it really, you know, you can't just tee off on one thing because there's a lot of things going on back there in the backfield with the two running backs being back there. You have to respect, you know, the 20 personnel setup.
Yeah, definitely. And that was going to be my next question. Like, what the operation for you? You guys base out of a 20 personnel. Are you a team that employs a lot of motion, changes personnel groups? You know, how does that incorporate into what you're doing with tempo?
Our biggest thing is how we're going to line up the receivers everywhere. I mean, we've lined up five guys into the boundary that you might have seen out there. We've lined up, you know, the receivers stacked out wide outside the numbers. You know, with the two backs going everywhere, you know, we'll split the backs. You know, one back is a sniffer. We'll move the back out into a formation as far as being a receiver. So, you know, you really have to be a smart football player. You got to be a football dude to, you know, be a part of what we're doing on offense because you have to know the whole game. It's not just this is my spot. I line up here and I do this every time. You know, you do a lot of different things. So we've done a lot of different things, you know, as far as I had a 20 personnel. And as your personnel is dictated on your players. So, mm-hmm. You know, different players we get with different sizes, different statures, you know, mean more tight ends come in or less tight ends come in or, you know, more receivers come in the game. You know, being a high school coach, I'm always going to adapt to what players I have, you know. So that's really where the key element comes into. What guys do we have? What spot do we need to get them into for them to make a play and affect the game?
Yeah, and you do some things there that you mentioned that I really like that drive defensive defenses nuts is that you number one, you're using field spacing kind of against them. So when you talk about stacking those receivers on the numbers wide out there, really hard to play an apex position in that and still be effective. You know, what types of things are you looking to do when you get into that kind of a set?
What we're trying to do in that kind of set is we're trying to declare, you know, we had a freshman quarterback, a true freshman. We're trying to declare just run pass, you know, like numbers game, just playing the numbers game. I mean, we really just want to see, all right, can we throw it out here on you? Or can we, you know, run it in the box? Are you going to give us the numbers that we want? You know, just simple, easy math, you know, six here, run it, you know, two safeties back, run it, one safety down, you know, just really simple things, just trying to make it elementary, but, you know, complex as well. I mean, I feel like the coaches, we should have a complex game plan, but should be elementary to the players as far as so they can play fast, count the numbers, and keep it rolling.
And then when you're doing something, defenses hate that formation into the sideline. I can't imagine, you know, how they're responding to five guys into the sideline. Talk to us a little bit about that set and some of the advantages or things you like to be able to do to the defense.
With that set, I mean, everybody played it different. Everybody tried a new way to try to stop it. Or, you know, that set just puts a lot of stress. I feel like, if anything, at the very least in that set, it spends a lot of practice time. It keeps the defense coordinator up late. Yeah, that set spends a lot of practice time because you have to see the ineligible guy or guys eligible or ineligible. You know, there's a lot of different things you have to look at in that formation and spend time on in practice, you know, to make sure your players, you know, because the coach might know what to do in that situation. But ultimately, it's about getting your 11 guys on defense in the right position to stop what we're trying to do in that formation. So I feel like it spends a lot of practice time, and it, you know, it paid dividends for us this year. We got a lot of big plays out of that set.
Coach, one of the things you guys excelled at was explosive plays in the passing game. You guys were number two in the country. And I was telling you before we got started, if you look across all divisions, usually that number one team runs the triple option. You know, those guys don't throw the ball a lot, but when they do, they're very explosive with it. You guys, you know, are more the traditional, I guess, current type of offense, let's say. But you guys were pretty explosive, being number two in average per completion. Talk to us a little bit about what you guys do that was able to help you excel in that area.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, like you just said, I mean, our quarterback was blessed to finish number one, but as a team, we finished, you know, number two. And really, you know, when you have two running backs in the backfield, it's saying that it's really telling a defense or a defensive coordinator that you need to put an extra hat in the box, or you need to try to stop the run, you know, that type of deal. So, you know, it gives our receivers the matchup that you want. You know, being a former receiver and playing for the coaches I played for, receivers have great seasons if you have a running game. You know, you're going to have a great season because you just beat the guy in front of you usually, or the guy off of you. You know, it's not, you know, guys just in drop eight or cover two, or, you know, just being able to cover the whole field with DBs. You want to have them bring an extra linebacker to the game, and then, you know, your receivers, you know, just have to win their one-on-one matchups, you know, make the layups, win their one-on-one matchups. So, you know, just trying to get guys open down the field by our different pictures and plays and, you know, running the football, I guess.
What play or what concept was the most productive for you guys in that regard?
Like anything, I mean, everybody wants to run quarters coverage or cover four, or, you know, however you say it, whatever your language is, and just, you know, double post. I mean, you want to run double post when teams are going to play cover four and quarters all the time. So that, you know, I would definitely play. We had a receiver. He finished with, I think, 27 yards per catch, close to 1,000 yards receiving, finished number one in the conference receiving. And he was able to, you know, just beat his guy one-on-one down the field on double post.
When you're going through the details of running the double post, what are you teaching your receivers, the inside post and the outside post?
Well, the big thing is you want both guys to feel like they're going to get the ball. You want, you know what I mean? I've had two schools of teaching where, you know, you're telling the guy just to clear out the guy for the other guy. But we want both of our guys to feel like they're going to get the ball and make a play. So, you know, the inside receiver, he's going to try to cross face and get to the opposite pylon. And then, you know, the other guy's going to get to the front side of the post. You really get two guys really hauling ass down the field, trying to really, you know, make a big play down the field. And that's the key. I mean, in all this thing, you know, like internet era, millennials, you know, they want to accomplish things. You know, you can see everything online. You can see everything that each other does. So just making guys so involved, I feel like, you know, guys are flying down the field. It was beautiful seeing, like, I think Hogerson was a couple years ago, West Virginia, they were running double posts, like, to the cows came home. I mean, they're just two dudes just flying down the field. I mean, it's beautiful for an old receiver just to see guys running down the field like that. So,
yeah, absolutely. So for your quarterback, short of just saying, hey, throw the open guy, what kind of things are you having him focus his eyes on to make that determination where he's going with the ball?
The biggest thing is the action, because anytime you're playing quarters coverage or cover four, one of those safeties is responsible for run. I mean, one of those guys is a run-fit player. So you definitely want him to, first off, identify the coverage. And then secondly, like you said, when he gets back, there's going to be one of those guys who cross-face. But ultimately, did that safety come down and play run, or did he stay back? And that'll determine, you know, which one of his whatever read he's gone to. So, you know, that is definitely a determinant factor, checking those safeties, checking the roof of what the defense is doing.
And in employing that concept, is that something you prefer from drop back? Are you putting into play action? What, you know, how do you guys like to operate with that?
I think it just depends on your guy's skill set. I mean, there's guys that can do that play with an RPO. I mean, you can watch Oklahoma. They can freaking, you know, they got guys fast enough and the line's big enough where they can get two guys down the field that fast, you know, off of a RPO. Action, drop back, there's a lot of different ways you can do it. Boot, I mean, we've done it a lot of different ways, just trying to, you know, get guys down the field and get them open. So there's many different ways that we'll employ that and try to get it set up down the field. Ultimately, it's just the key is trying to get those teams that, you know, feel like their guys are good enough in the back end to sit in quarters coverage or, you know, play man back there and having a plan for it.
Mm-hmm. Coach, focusing a little bit on your personnel this past year, you guys are getting it done with, you know, a 230 and a 260-pound tackle, as you mentioned. Definitely undersized for your level. Probably not for high schools, but high schools have to play a lot of times with those undersized guys. How were you able to make that undersized personnel work and move the football so effectively?
The one thing you get, like you said, I was able – I say it's a blessing to coach high school before you get into college. I mean, it helps you immensely. But because in high school, you just whoever shows up at the gym, that's who you got. So you kind of just have to figure it out. Right. But, you know, so we were able, with guys being, you know, undersized, a little bit quicker, a little bit faster, we were able to, you know, like I never majored in, you know, being an outside zone type of team. And this year we were able to run outside zone really well. You know, having faster guys to climb up to the second level, get cuts downfield, being smaller guys. So that was one of the things that helped, having guys that they were definitely smaller in stature, which hurt us in some elements, but they helped us in a lot of elements as well, being able to get downfield and be able to run downfield a little bit better than, say, a 310-pound tackle would.
Coach, I appreciate you taking time here today and talking a little bit about your offense. Before we go, a question I like to ask of every coach is, you know, looking at all the things you do, whether that's building culture, you're working the offseason recruiting, teaching these guys on and off the field, you know, what's the one thing, if I said, Coach, point to one thing that gives your guys the winning edge, what would that be?
The one thing that gives our guys the winning edge is ball security drills every day.
What do you guys do that's a little bit different? Because I know everybody talks about those kind of drills. But it's you know, yeah. And they go out and there's that activity. What do you guys do that turns it into achievement?
Well, I mean, we finished number one in the country and fumbles lost. We lost two fumbles the whole year. So we do basketball drills. We have a lot of different circuits. So one circuit will do a basketball drill. Another one, coaches, you know, hitting you and trying to get you to scoop up the ball through contact, making sure if the ball is – we practice if the ball is on the ground, picking the ball back up. You know, where a lot of guys don't do that in their ball security drills, getting hit through contact and keeping the ball, somebody trying to pull the ball out, and, you know, someone trying to, you know, sneak up behind you and get the ball out without you knowing. So we do a lot of different circuits and drills with that, and it paid dividends for us this year. So, you know, obviously if you're keeping the ball, you have a chance to score the ball. So ball security is always important.
Coach, how can our coaches reach out to you and talk to you a little bit more about what you guys are doing?
I'm on Twitter at, you know, it's simple, just my name, at Brennan Marion, the number four. And that's where I talk to a lot of guys and always try to help out, you know, high school guys and anybody who needs, you know, help or guidance or advice on getting into coaching because it's a great profession.
Coach, appreciate you taking the time. Best of luck to you and Howard University and that go-go offense in 2018.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me, man.